Lord and bless His Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to invite you to pull out the part of the service order that has the gospel reading, because we'll be making a number of references to some of the particular sentences within that gospel reading. You remember from several years, many years ago, the movie, O God. How many saw O God? Well, one of the things we're trying to do in the adult forum is to show how technology and media can add to communicating a message. And if we had technology projection in the sanctuary, what we'd be able to do is to show this clip from the movie at this particular point. But if you remember that in the movie, God is played by George Burns. And I remember that he's the man who said that when he gets up in the morning, he goes and looks in the obituary column. And if he does not find his name there, then he goes ahead and has breakfast. Well, in that movie, he plays God, and he prevails upon the assistant manager of a supermarket, Jeremy Landers. And this is played by John Denver. And when I was younger, I was told I looked like John Denver, but I don't know if that's the case much anymore. But he prevails upon John Denver to spread God's message around the world and to the people around him. And at the end of the movie, John Denver is very discouraged. He goes to God and laments, you know, God, it just has not worked. People have not caught on to what I have been saying. I feel like I have been a total failure in what I've been trying to do. Well, God does not see it that way, and so God says to him, Jerry, you know, if the seed is good, it will take root and grow. And I have given you good seeds. In fact, I have given you the best seeds. And really, there's a lot of the theology of the movie, O God, that I do not agree with, but I certainly agree with what is said at the end, that if the seed is good, it will sprout and grow. And in the gospel of Jesus Christ, His life, death, and resurrection for us, we have the best of seeds, and it certainly will sprout and grow and take root. And so I want to point out four things about seeds and growth from our gospel reading for today. First of all, we are all called to do something. If you look at the opening line of the gospel reading, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. We have the seed of the gospel, the love of Jesus, His life, death, and resurrection. We have good seed. And so what do we need to do? We need to sow it and scatter it, and spread it. And certainly Artie has given us many ways in which we can do that. For example, we sow the seed of the kingdom, as we say, words of encouragement. And I want to say a very big special thank you. There are so many of you that have said such wonderful, kind, encouraging things to me as I'm facing surgery on this coming Tuesday. Something that I try to do is to say, to make a phone call of encouragement to at least one person every day. We can sow seeds of witness. Just taking the time to bow your head and say grace before a meal in a restaurant is a powerful Christian witness. I find also that maybe like inviting a neighborhood child to vacation Bible school or teaching vacation Bible school, that is sowing the seed of witness. Also, I have a lot of Christian faith t-shirts, and when I wear those t-shirts, people see what I believe and they know where I stand by the clothing that I wear. And that's also witness. The gym I go to, Freedom Fitness, north of Jomax, west of Alma School. I remember one time there was a rather buff-looking young man who wore a t-shirt that said, Reps for Jesus. And I said, that is really a Christian witness. And I went over and thanked him for his witness. Also, acts of kindness. I know many instances where people have paid for the bill for the food of the person behind them in line, like at a fast food restaurant. There's an ad on TV, I think it's a McDonald's ad, where someone offers to pay for the food for the person behind them, and then the person collecting the money says, well, do you really want to do that? Then he looks back, and there's this huge vehicle that's just full of all these people, and then you don't know what happens next. But that also is a sowing the seed of acts of kindness. We have a great group that meets for men's Bible study every Thursday morning, and we have the same waitress every Thursday, and she knows it's a Bible study. And so we're sowing seeds of the gospel just by the way we relate to the waitress and by the amount of the tip that we leave. She said that she's not able to go to church on Sunday because of working, and so overhearing our Bible study on Thursday is really her way of going to church. Now, I remember there was one week, I think, Lance, you were talking about someone had recommended to give an extra dollar of tip every time. And what a sowing a seed of act of kindness that would be. And you really don't know if everybody did that, the positive impact that would have upon the life of somebody else. So Lance, after you said that, every one of us knew, and the waitress overheard him say that. So every one of us knew that we better do that. So many different ways in which we sow the seed. We are all called to do something. But then the second thing that we see in our gospel reading is that we are not able to do everything. We are not responsible for everything. In the second line, the man sows the seed, but then notice what happens next. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how. We sow the seed, but you know, we cannot make the seed grow. Only God can cause the growth. There are some things we can do and we are responsible for doing them, but there are some things we cannot do. They are outside our responsibility. I think of the Serenity Prayer that really distinguishes between what we can change and what we can't change. And God, give me the courage to change the things I can, the strength to handle the things I cannot change, and what? The wisdom to know the difference. I am called to sow the seed, but I cannot cause the growth. I don't know how growth happens. Only God can do that. I need to do what I am called to do, but realize that there are some things I cannot do, like cause the growth. One time there was a young boy that wanted to start a garden in his yard, and so he prepared the soil and planted the seeds and watered the rows of seeds. And then for him came the hardest time of all, the waiting. And the seeds did not germinate as quickly as he thought they would, and he got all anxious. And so what did he do? He dug them up every day to check on the seeds. And that was not really good for the seeds. That kind of did in the seeds. And so he was trying to take charge of responsibility for what is not his to do. I think of one young man who was so short during junior high, felt bad about that. He reached high school, and all of a sudden, there was a spurt of growth. We can sow the seed, but we cannot cause growth. That happens not only physically, but also mentally. I was reading that Thomas Edison was doing so badly in his early years of school that the teacher thought it was a waste for him to be in school, and even told his mother he might as well just be taken out of school. It's just a waste. Or Winston Churchill was placed in some of the lowest level classes of the first school that he enrolled in, and was in those lowest level classes the whole time that he was there. And Albert Einstein was so slow in his mental processes when he was a child that his parents were afraid that he was mentally just didn't have it. Great minds, high talent, cannot be hurried. So the grow, weak plant the seeds, but only God can cause the growth. And then third, growth is happening even when we cannot see it. The third line of our gospel reading. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Growth is a mystery. We sow, God produces the growth. We can help the conditions be right for growth, but only God can produce the growth. And growth is happening even when we cannot see it. And that is a tremendous source of encouragement to anybody who teaches Vacation Bible School or Sunday School or also as a pastor. I retired June 30th of last year after serving 40 years to the date as pastor in the same congregation. Though I also say that in one sense I was in the same congregation for 40 years, and in another sense I served many different congregations all of the same address, because there was always turnover. And being that there that long, I had the privilege of being able to confirm people whose parents I had confirmed. And there was one family where I had officiated at the wedding or done a vow renewal for three generations in that family. Well, in 40 years, you confirm a lot of young people. And one of the things that troubled me was there were so many of them, they would be confirmed, and then we'd never see them again. You know, how as if confirmation is graduation from church. And I wondered, well, what is happening in the lives of those people? I would see them for our confirmation years and then wouldn't see them again. And I was wondering, you know, is it really worthwhile? Is it paying off? You know, is it productive what we're doing? And I remember a young man by the name of David Schnorr. And my wife taught the middle school with Christ Lutheran School, the school that connected to the church, and so she also had him as a student. And David Schnorr was just one of those troublemakers in school and in confirmation. And David Schnorr says that what he remembers most about confirmation was the day that he was acting up, and that I, as the pastor, just picked him up, chair and all, and carried him outside the room. That's what he remembers most about confirmation. And his mother would, he had an older brother, Stephen, and his mother would tell him, David, why can't you be good like your older brother, Stephen? And that kind of didn't help. And Terry said that she would say to David, David, be a nice guy, prove your mom wrong. Well, David, you wondered whether anything good would come. But years later, when David's mother was dying of cancer, David was so beautifully, wonderfully attentive and responsive and caring to her during that time. And as I saw what happened in the life of David Schnorr, I was motivated to keep on teaching confirmation. You know, things do happen. Growth happens even when you cannot see it. How much better to realize that than to be like the father who said to his son, what's wrong with you? How come you're only five? When I was your age, I was 10. You know, well, we plant the seed, we can be faithful, but only God can produce the growth. We're all called to do something. There are some things we cannot do, only God can do, and growth is happening even when we cannot see it. And then the fourth thing I see in this gospel lesson is that great things often come from small beginnings. The sixth line of the gospel reading, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And already was telling us how tiny the seed is, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the shrubs. Great things come from small beginnings. Tiny seed, planted, nurtured, becomes a great bush that extends and puts out great branches and becomes a place where the birds of the air can nest and settle and animals can find shelter in a hot desert environment of the lands of the Bible, very much like here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Now, our home in Scottsdale is the first time that we've had a pool. One of the things I was wondering about as the spring was coming is when would the water become warm enough to be able to comfortably go into the pool? And I tested it in the mid-70s, and that was not warm enough. But this past week, the pool water now is in the 80s, and it's easy to go in. And it's very comfortable to go in. Well, we have a yellow lab by the name of Shiloh. Shiloh was a stray that was rescued, and we got him at the end of January. And Shiloh's first introduction to our pool was late one night when he had a nature call. And so I led him outside. He walked by the pool, didn't quite catch the edge of the curve, and fell in sideways and just panicked. And so I had to pull him out. Well, since then, Shiloh does not want to go in the pool. And so we have a neighbor that has a yellow, a golden retriever named Robbie. And Shiloh and Robbie are great friends. And Robbie loves to go in the pool. Shiloh will not go in the pool. But now that it's warm, I'm trying to get him to come into the pool. And so at first when I was in the pool, he would be by the slider. He wasn't going to be anywhere near. I would go and get him, drag him in. I at least wanted him to know that if he falls in, he can get out. And so I walked him around the edge where there's a seat edge and then brought him to the place where there's a steps and that he could get out. And he just scrambled out as fast as he could. And then he wasn't anywhere near the pool. Well, this past week, there are steps forward where he doesn't stay far away. He just kind of stays by the pool, probably knowing where he's going to end up. And so I get him. I walk him around the edge. And then I bring him to the far end, and he'll dog paddle to the steps and go out. Well, that's what I can do, is teach him that if he does fall in, he can get out. He will be safe. He won't drown. I can get him to go into the pool. That's something that I can do. But what can I not do? Get him to want to do it. That has to come from him. Kind of like what I can do, what I can't do in the planting of seed and growing. Well, this past week, I was sitting at the far end at the east side of our property is a desert wash. And I think desert washes are wonderful. And it's full of plants, not just desert broom, but other plants as well. And among all of those desert plants were all of these birds. And I just sat there looking at all the birds, this incredibly beautiful red bird. And that reminded me of the gospel lesson. The growth, great growth will often start with something small. The tiny seed producing the great tree, which then becomes beneficial to all, puts out its branches and becomes a place of shelter and a home for all of the animals of the area. Great growth comes from small beginnings. You know, all music that has ever been written is based upon how many notes? 12. There only are 12 notes. All the music ever written, those only have 12 notes. All the great literature in the English language that has ever been written is based upon how many letters? 26. Everything has emerged, 12 notes, 26 letters. Great things come from small beginnings, and it's also true spiritually. Around the time of the 100th anniversary of the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, there was a cartoon that came out where two Kentucky backwoodsmen were at the edge of the forest and they were talking. One of them was saying, "Has anything important ever happened around here?" The other one said, "No, nothing significant has ever happened here." "Oh, over at the cabin of Tom Lincoln, I understand there was a little baby that was born, but nothing important ever happens around here." You know, several centuries before, in the town of Bethlehem, a couple people could have been talking and someone could have said, "Does anything significant ever happen here in the old little town of Bethlehem?" The other person might have said, "No, nothing significant ever happens here in Bethlehem. I did hear that there was a woman by the name of Mary that had a baby that was born in a cave, but nothing significant ever happens here in our little town of Bethlehem." Yet we know that great things come from small beginnings. Tiny seed, faithful sowing, mysterious growth, and then a great harvest. God has promised to produce that result. Now, Richard, you have DVDs of the Living Last Supper that was done on Maundy Thursday, and that was such a tremendous honor to be able to have a role within that play. And I think of that production. And of the fact that think of the sequence of events that started that night. Here was the night of the Last Supper. And then the agony in the garden. And then the betrayal. And then the arrest. And then the trial. And then the crucifixion of Jesus. And then his rising from the dead. And then the men who were present at that living Last Supper took that word and they spread it in all directions. They sowed the seed of the gospel. And you know, you and I came to faith and we're here today because of the seed that was sown beginning with that time. That great things have a small beginning. Maybe I might wonder, I wish the attendance here at church was more. I wish there were more Sunday children that were coming out for vacation Bible school. But great things come from small beginnings. We are all called to do something. There are other things that we cannot do. Only God can do. Growth happens even when we cannot see it. And great things come from small beginnings. Those are words of encouragement, and those are words of challenge. If you have been faithful in your serving and you are wondering, well, does anything ever result from it? Is anything going to happen because of what I have been doing? The results just aren't adequate. The results are small. This is a word of encouragement. The tiny mustard seed planted becomes the great tree of faith. But it's also a word of challenge. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. Are you that someone? And in words that you need to say and in acts of kindness and encouragement and ministry that you need to do, is there a seed that you are holding that you need to scatter on the ground? Amen. Let's stand and sing the sermon hymn.